How do I? Okay, I can open it up. What are we talking about, real quick?
I hope we're rolling. Audience members, did you hear that? It's just a guy we hired to sit there.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to MGM Podcast. I'm your host, Wyatt Sherwin, and we're here with Lucas Winkler.
What are you, Asian?
Winkler?
Winkler?
Winkler? Winkler? Winkler?
You thought his name was Wrinkle?
I thought it was W-R.
No, it's Winkler.
No, it's not Asian.
I'm never coming back.
Lucas Winkler the Wrinkler. I'm
going to call you that permanently now.
You should. The Wrinkler.
I never looked at this. I don't even know.
I love it.
I don't even know my
Lucas doesn't even flinch. He's been called so many
Asians
things.
Asians have a lot of trouble saying my name with the L and the W, so.
don't. So, guys, we were just talking about that commercial. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's something for you to really think about. I think it starts with Amazon making billions of dollars with other people's products, and then it goes to Uber making billions of dollars with other people's cars, Airbnb making billions of dollars with other people's property. What is happening?
With what? Like it becoming.
You don't have to own anything to make a lot of money these days. Just know how to manage it.
That's how you do it.
Just know how to manage it.
Like, think about the idea that, you know, if you told someone 10 years ago that there would be a business where, you know, you hop in a stranger's car and like
throw them, I know.
Like a little bit of cash and they take you wherever, like
stay in somebody's house.
You would think that would not work. Or like, yeah, like staying in some random person's house you don't know for like a little bit of money. But like, that's the direction we're going, because, you know, those things are starting to get so expensive where like, that's the, like you almost need to do that. Like you need to make money off of like your assets that you buy.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
it is interesting because, you know, we've talked a lot about it on this podcast, knowledge-based commerce, right? So I guess the way that you are successful there is kind of like the guy you told us about where one day he just jumped on YouTube and offered a lesson.
Yeah, he just started making tutorial videos on audio production, and then
he realized people would pay for it.
Well, yeah, people just kept asking him for more and more and more, and he was like, okay. And he's like, well, I can sell this.
Right.
And it was like $40 or something for like a course or whatever. And
right.
He tells a story about how he, like his grandfather died or something. He's at his funeral and he saw the PayPal notification on his phone. He just got paid by some random person. He didn't even know how to promote it. He just threw it up on his website.
Right.
Like he didn't even know how to create it or really, like he just kind of figured it out. And now there's tons of softwares that basically do it for you.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I can do this while I'm not working. I can make money while I'm not working.
100%. And, you know, a lot of content creators, that's what we do here at Growing Media, is we market your business, whether it's you've hired us to write your ad copy or manage your digital media or your social media. We can do that from anywhere in the world, right? However, we still have some costs associated with that.
Oh, yeah.
You have to buy the latest, greatest.
Yeah, like you can't have like, you know, below tier like stuff.
Right.
Or like, I mean, I guess you could, but at that point it wouldn't be of value truly. You know, I think 90% of like what you're saying with, you know, anywhere from homes to like courses to like, you know,
right.
anything not a, what's the word?
Tangible.
You touch tangible.
Tangible.
Nothing tangible, like, is trust. And like trust that you're gonna get what you know you wanted. It's right. There's levels to it for sure, but like, you know, why would you? That's how a lot of these content creators get so huge, or these gurus. You know, like it's not. Some of them are like legit. Like they have the background. Like they understand it. They've got a different brain. Like they can put together a really good course. But others, like there's been so many accounts of people like renting a Lambo and renting a suit and then taking pictures next to a window of a jet, then getting off, like just so they could be like, this is how you make money like a G. And then like,
cause if you made that much money, you wouldn't be on social media pimping yourself.
No,
you
know? No. And then, you know, people are like, here's $1,000, teach me everything you know. And then it's like, oh
yeah,
like I just got scammed.
That's true.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the image, and you know, the trust and rapport that you build with like someone is probably more valuable than anything when it comes to intangible product.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of those popular home-based business ideas now, because everybody seemingly wants to work remotely now.
Yeah.
Or the hybrid work schedule where you occasionally go in the office just to catch up with your buddies.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's in some ways it's good, some ways it's bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like you get to spend more time with your family. But also, like for me, I feel like I get more distracted if I am home rather than if I'm in my office.
Same.
And if I had like a big enough house to where I could dedicate an office and close the door, I think that would probably be better. Mm-hmm. But I don't have that, you know, and I know not everybody does have that opportunity to actually, you know, close the door behind you and act as if you don't have those distractions.
Right.
Yeah.
I love some of those videos where they look like some of the hardest people, you know, like suit, tie, they never smile. And all of a sudden their kid runs into the room like wearing a diaper on their head or something. You know, that's the beauty of working at home, really. Any of those type of things could happen. But, okay, check this out. Soap making.
Soap?
That's apparently very big right now. Soap making.
Oh, okay, so. No,
candle making. Soap making.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've seen that at, like, those fairs or whatever. Like, here's a booth with, like, a bunch of scents of, like, soap. And
but now you have Etsy. You can buy direct, right? Mm-hmm. Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are making stuff. I guess there's a high demand on soap making.
I had no idea.
Me either.
You know what's really interesting? What? My brother-in-law, Lena's brother, mm-hmm. he's been selling like specialized coins that he finds in packs.
Oh.
And like he does like these live streams. And it's just, he just does it whenever he wants. And he's made some decent money. And
really?
I'm very confused about it because I don't care about coins at all.
Oh, but there are people who do.
It's like a big deal. Yeah. I'm very surprised. I've seen people do
like
knives.
Like gold coins?
No, it's like you buy like a 50 pack of nickels or something. And there are like special ones from certain years that are actually super valuable.
Very valuable.
Like more valuable than the 5 cents or whatever. Right. It could be whatever, quarters, pennies, whatever.
They did value one of those not long ago, and it was just astronomical. Like, it was a quarter, but it was a...
this or that, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And thousands of dollars.
Right.
That quarter.
Just because of, like, the rarity of it?
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sought after. So they say that podcasting is another way. It's a home business idea.
Yeah.
We haven't made enough money yet.
No.
To verify.
I don't know. Maybe we have. We let Lucas handle the analytics.
I'm just pocketing
all the money. Some people are like, well, how do you
Lucas
make money
like,
on
no,
that?
No, we've never made a dollar.
So you make money by listenership, viewership. You're paid, right? They monetize it on the platforms?
I'm not necessarily on like, yes. So there are ways, yes.
Okay.
So there are ways that you can make it into tiers. You can have a bunch of free podcasts.
Right.
And then, so say like you do like a 2-hour interview, really deep, well thought out interview with somebody, you give out an hour of it for free. And then if you want the next 2 hours,
I see.
Pay $10 a month and you always get the extended version of the podcast.
Oh,
sure.
Okay.
Kind of like a Patreon type of thing.
Right.
And then of course you can always have sponsors where they pay you a set amount per episode that you say, hey, should go check out this product.
Right.
Yeah.
Brought to you by.
Those are the two main ways. And of course you can get paid for views on YouTube and Rumble and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, people just want to pay for what you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been like that. Well, not always been like that, but like for a long time, I feel like, you know, podcasts just kind of got big, I feel like, recently in like the last, I'd say less than a decade, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely. Yeah,
for sure.
Probably 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But
I think it's been a decade.
I think it's been a full decade.
Yeah.
Like when it really blew up.
Well,
see Joe Rogan.
Like, since it really started to like take off.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
I got a
bone to pick with Joe Rogan because he's like right here and we're like right here.
I know, man. He
really
needs
close.
To just,
he
you know,
to
how,
step
you ever
down
heard,
and give
okay,
us the throne,
you ever heard of a hand up?
Yeah.
Not a hand out. We would just like a little hand up.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe? It's not asking too much.
Freaking Rojogan.
Rojogan, dude.
All right, here's another one, and this is up your alley. Nutritionist. How many people do you know now are begging for people to train them, to give them a meal plan, to encourage them?
Personal training.
So big.
Dude, there's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of money in that. And it's like, but like also, I feel like if you're really good at it and you're like really into it, I feel like it could be really stressful because like you know, the people who are truly passionate about it and getting like people to, you know, pick up healthy ways and like be consistent in the gym and whatever, like that must be like so like straining on you when
it's
you
ruling,
know, the natural human like
is to run.
No, yeah,
away,
yeah,
right. Not with you,
or
away.
Or lie, or be like, you know, yeah. I'm doing this and doing this when in reality they're not. And then it's like, okay, well, like, you know, I'm a failure as a personal trainer. I can't get this person to lose weight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they're not, but like, it's like, that's your job. So right. It's like, if I can't do that, but then again, I mean, it's also, you know, you're getting paid to do what you love, because like the gym and like personal training, I feel like people are only going to really gravitate towards those who look like they really do it.
Yeah.
And 100%. I don't think it's really something you can cheat. So like they probably do love it.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, steroids, you think
you can but stop.
Besides it's that,
not. I think there's even besides with steroids, that, I feel like there's still like a lot of work. That
yeah.
Goes
there's
into
still
it.
Work that has to go into it. Yeah. But yeah. I do feel like that's cheating.
No, yeah. I mean, that's why it's tested for in like powerlifting contests and stuff. Yeah. So they don't like blow everybody out the water. Right. So,
but yeah, I mean, when it comes to knowledge commerce, I think there are three main areas where people make the most money is if you teach somebody how to make money, like people are going to pay for that. If you're going to teach someone how to be healthy, whether it be eating or exercising, people are going to pay for that.
Yeah.
And or if you're going to teach somebody how to have better relationships.
Oh, always.
Just in general in your life.
100%.
Like, people are going to pay for that because people want to save their relationships with people.
That's so true.
Or just like motivation in general. I feel like
those books have exploded.
But like those three things that you've just said, like I don't think it's many, but like there's a few people on the internet who have like cracked that kind of formula. And like now that I'm really thinking about it, like, they perform very well because they just hammer hard at that towards people. And like, let's be honest, like, I mean, they probably have a better hold on it than most people, like personally, but they're still going through their own stuff. But they you kind of have to put on that front of like, okay, like my life is amazing and I never have a bad day. And like, you're not going to have a bad day either. The reason you're having a bad day is because you're not trying hard enough. But right. Like, it's a
go
good
read
thing.
Another book.
It's like, I think that like, you know, ethically it might be a little off, but at the same time, if it gets the job done, if it motivates someone to be like, yeah, man, like, you know what? I'm tired of being a loser. I'm going to get up today and I'm going to run 20 miles and do 1,000 pushups or whatever, you know, just I know that's a little extra 20 miles. I've never ran 20 miles a day in my life. I don't know if I've ran 10.
You're consistently doing.
You've ran 20 miles in a day.
Dude, two a days when I played soccer, 100%. We probably ran close to like 30.
What?
30 miles?
Yeah, because
wonder you're the way you are. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, because like for our first, like when we did two-a-days, and anybody who's played soccer can attest to this. When you do two-a-days, on the morning practice, because, you know, morning and an evening practice. In the morning practice, they don't tell you to bring your cleats. You're not going to touch a ball. You're going to run.
Oh.
Just run.
You're run until you throw up, and then you'll run some.
What?
Have you thrown up at soccer practice?
Oh.
All dude. The time.
On two-a-days every day.
Every time?
Every time.
They don't stop until you puke.
Yeah, I mean, there's a two-hour limit, but I mean, you won't make it. Most people don't, unless you kept yourself in really great shape in the summer. We were teenagers. Of course we didn't keep ourselves in great shape.
Like you weren't like Olympic athletes.
No,
like,
but I mean, I was still running. When on our first practice, I could still run a 6-minute mile. No issue there.
There it's you go. Fast.
We all could, but that didn't matter.
Right.
Like, we just kept going.
Wow.
But we were the most in-shape team in our league.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sacrifice.
Dude, I, like, do a down and back and throw up. Like, I can't, I was never been like that. I remember I ran, like, 8 miles or 9 miles. I thought I was, like, David Goggins or some shit, dude. I was, like, flex. I was, like, they don't know me, son.
Oh,
and then
my
I'm, gosh. Like, ugh. You know, but, dude, that's empowering, man. If you can run 30 miles, you need to. Yeah, I'm sure you got a book somewhere where you wrote down everything. It's probably a bunch of mean things about your coach, but then it's like, here's what he did today. You know, I need that.
As a result, he hates the thought of running.
And as a result of that, he can run probably, or he could run a 5:30 mile. So
no.
I mean, that's
heck no, not now. I'm lucky to get under 7 minutes now.
That's still
lucky.
I mean, that's do you know anything about mile times or not?
Of course I know. What do you think here?
No, dude. What are we talking? Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently,
start a course that's on how to run a 5-minute mile.
That would sell. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
No, it probably exists already.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's definitely running guides out there.
You would have a great resume, though. People would sign up based on your past experience.
Yeah, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dude, if you wrote, I ran 30 miles every day for a week on the intro page to your course, like, everyone would be like, yeah.
People are like, yeah.
Like, I just want to run a third of that.
Or they'd click off and be like, heck yeah.
And I'm going to teach you.
I don't run 30 miles in a lifetime. Let alone a day.
And they leave out that important part about you yakking every time you do it. But, you know, whether you're starting up a business, a home-based business, you're already established, there are some things that people fail to implement. And, you know, this is kind of that roadmap of success, whether you've read this already in a book or somebody told you online. Marketing, whether you are doing it all your own at home, you still have to market your business. You have to let people know you're open.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you might as well close.
Well, yeah, it's you're going to. Yeah. I mean, marketing. It's literally anything. Like, if people don't know you exist, how are they going to buy from you?
It happened just the other day. There was a little restaurant that opened the town over from me. And I happened to see on Facebook where they were making a public, you know, plea to come and see them. They were going to have to lessen their hours, losing money. They're doing everything they can to make it. I'm like, this is the first time I've heard of you. Where were you the day you opened, like marketing your business, letting people know you're there?
Yeah.
It's a bad sign where you can live in an area and, like, you know, go months without noticing a business until, like, you finally drive by it and it says closing soon.
What kind of business was it?
It was a restaurant.
Okay. So.
And I desperately need other restaurants.
Let's go back then to the guy that we interviewed today.
Yeah.
Their hospitality must have not been good enough for people to talk about it, for the people to continuously come back.
It was the rising cost of supplies.
But restaurants thrive off of
that's right.
word of mouth marketing.
Word of
mouth. People are like, oh my gosh, I just had this so meal there. It was so good. Right. I'm going to go back and try this.
Okay. Duly noted. Yeah.
And that comes back to the hospitality. Like, how did they get treated while they were there?
That's right.
You know what I mean? And that's what he talked about today.
That is so
it's
true.
It's a big deal.
And sometimes you only get one shot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
especially if you're hidden a little bit, like you're not off Main Street, you know what I'm saying? Like you're tucked away. It's really important that you market well.
So true.
Because, like, I mean, there's been like businesses in the past or like restaurants, like you'd be like, oh, I'm so excited to eat here. And I'm like, I have heard of that, but I'm like, I've never seen it. Like, I wonder where it is. And then we drive down like three alleys and then we go through the Closet of Narnia and then that's where the restaurant is. Like, but it's just so good. Like the hospitality and the food, it just outlasts everybody else.
Oh, yeah. There are places I would drive to, you know,
100%.
Two or three times as long away just to have the food.
To have the food.
Or the experience that their restaurant brings. Yeah. 100%.
And we've all seen it. There are restaurants without a sign. You just have to know where it is. And those are...
They're doing just fine.
The really good restaurants. Yeah. So that, you know, that leads us to the next thing. You got to think about customer acquisition and then retention. So the acquisition is getting them in the door.
Right.
But like you just said, the moment you get them in the door, from the person who greets them to the person who waits on them, to the person preparing the food, person bussing the table, you know, all of that is the experience that you're having, you know, and you'll remember that. And that right there will either lead towards retention or adios.
Yeah.
I'm not coming back.
Right.
People aren't very forgiving when it comes to their food.
Especially not early on.
No.
Like if you've supplied good service a few times.
Right.
And you can have a bad day.
All of a sudden you have a bad day.
But it can't be the first day.
The cook screws up or something.
Right.
Then yeah. And I actually heard about this about a local restaurant that happened to in Carterville the other day. A couple of friends of mine went to this new opening at this new restaurant. It was like a coffee shop.
Yeah. Place.
And he said,
I hadn't heard of it.
He said they waited like an hour and a half.
Really?
First day.
Wow.
And when he got the food, he said it was okay.
Oh.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great.
What happened? Did they just have a line out the door and couldn't?
No, he said it wasn't like, he said it wasn't busy enough for them to
have that kind of
for
a wait.
An hour and a half. But it's like simple food too. Like, oh. Complex.
Yeah, I think
that's bad.
I think a first impression speaks like 1,000 times louder than every other following impression. You know what I'm saying?
100%. Because,
you know, it's like, you think about meeting somebody, like, you know, that person can have a bad time or, like, you know, say something like, on the 200th impression, not the first.
Right.
So that's how,
right.
that's how you get exiled, you know?
Yeah. You guys are leading perfectly into the next thing. So, you have to be a customer of your business or service. So you have the good old quality control in place. Experience your restaurant, experience your coffee shop, you know, go in and what does it look like from that side of the counter? I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, can you step out of your own shoes and step into a customer's shoes and then walk in and be like, oh, I don't like that.
Right.
You know,
how did I feel when I got in here? You know, how long did I have to wait or whatever?
I love that Undercover Boss.
Oh, that's such a good show.
That show. Have you seen that? Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah. All right, guys, that's what we like to do is give you some tips, some tricks, and we've got a lot of answers because we've had a lot of questions over the years. So,
oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And if you have some or you can answer them better, come on our podcast.
We will not dance on our podcast.
I might.
I might, too.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker
guys,
for views.
I thought you were on my side.
Especially if it's the weekend, baby. All right. Adios. We'll see you later.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.